Greek. This is the third lesson. Where's my... I had a pile of stuff.
I said again.
Okay, how many letters are in the Greek alphabet, Dan?
24.
Very good. All right. Let's see if we can review a couple of different things. Let's hear Brother Dan go through all of them.
Alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, zeta, eta, beta, iota, kappa, a lambda, mu, nu, psi, omicron, pi, rho, sigma, tau, upsilon, phi, or phi, pi, chi, psi, omega.
Excellent, excellent. All right, John, your turn.
Alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, zeta, eta, theta, iota, kappa, lambda, psi, omicron, lambda, pi, rho, sigma, tau, upsilon, and then it goes psi, phi, phi, chi, psi, omega.
Okay. Alright, here you go.
Alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, theta, zeta, eta, theta, iota, kappa, lambda, mu, nu, psi.
So it's like psi.
Psi, omicron, pi, rho, sigma, tau, epsilon, pi, by
chi
psi omicron.
Nope, that one's
omega.
Well done. This one is now all of they're all it's pi. All right, you would what'd you say? P.
P.
Yeah, but it's pi. P I. All right, rho, sigma, tau, upsilon. Okay.
Remember. Okay, you're just giving the P.
You did, yeah. Pi.
But it'll always be pi. Pi.
Yeah.
It'll never be P-E.
No, I don't. I never says an E as far as I know. All right. There's seven vowels. Who remembers the seven vowels? John.
Alpha, epsilon, iota. There's eta as well.
Eta.
Eta. In order, alpha, epsilon, does eta come before iota?
Mm-hmm.
Eta, iota, omicron, upsilon, omega.
Okay. Alpha, epsilon, eta, long A sound, iota, omicron, upsilon, omega, seven vowels. Better be able to pick those out and know their sounds. Anybody remember the diphthong? Let's see. What are the diphthongs? Daniel.
Oh, this is horrible. AI?
No. What are diphthongs?
Oh, the two vowels join together to make another sound.
Yeah, the two vowels have one sound. It's kind of like, why'd they do that? Why did they just keep a vowel? But two vowels come together, they marry, and they become one sound.
Right.
Okay? alpha, iota, as in aisle. I, u, a, oi, u, u, u. It's got to be a little longer. And the eta, u. All right.
Alpha, upsilon is
ow,
or cow.
Right? Uh-huh, uh-huh, okay. Ow. Okay. All right, let's try it. Diphthongs. So, thank you, dear brother. You are a blessing. Let's try it. What is the other vowel that goes with the alpha? Alpha what?
Iota.
Alpha iota. Excellent. What's the other one? Alpha and what other vowel will go together?
Hmm?
Alpha upsilon. And then, and that makes what sound? Alpha upsilon, you just said it.
Owl.
Owl. As in cow. Owl now, brown cow. Then epsilon what? What letter goes with it?
Iota.
And then you've got omicron. Oi. Also iota. And then one more omicron. Hmm? Upsilon. Omicron upsilon. That makes the sound of oo. And then there's epsilon upsilon, which is also oo, but it's u. Oo. Like ew. And then eta, what? What vowel goes with eta?
Epsilon.
Epsilon, which is also u. And then there's one which is upsilon, what?
Iota.
And that makes what sound?
Wee.
Like wee wee, monsieur.
Wee, queen.
All right. All right, marks of punctuation. What does a period look like? In Greek, it's the same as ours, isn't it?
Okay.
What about a comma? Thankfully. What about a question mark?
Semicolon.
Yes, it actually is an English semicolon. And what does a semicolon in Greek looks like? No, it looks like a colon. Just a dot dot.
A colon, I mean. Yeah.
Okay, all right. So when you get to look at the text, you'll go, there's a question mark. I found it. All right. let's review last week's exercises here. You had some exercises you were doing. Let's see, how many of you got all of your letters? Yeah, first of all, your pronunciation. we did pronunciation, let's see, we did the Greek letter writing. You should have all of your, all of them. Go back one page, is that right? Exercises, yeah. You practiced your pronunciation. Let's hear your six words, Daniel.
Ago.
Ago.
Ago. Lepo.
Good.
Kinosko.
Good.
Grapple.
Mm-hmm.
Thelo.
Just thelo.
Thelo. And pempo.
Pempo. Very good. Barry, can you read yours?
Same ones, eh?
Yes, sir.
Ago, lepo, kinosko, grapo, telo, pempo.
Pempo. Very good. All right. Did you have fun with your Greek phonics writing out your, you should have been able to write your letters. That's okay. I'm not going to check that. I'm looking to see how did you do on writing out your letters from the Greek here, where you were able to say en harke, ein, ho. Now you don't have an O-H in front of that O.
What is that there, the third word?
Is it ein or
hain?
Hain.
H-E? H, well, you can have H-E, but it's H-A, hain.
Yeah, I have A-N, but I didn't put
yes, the H. Yes, that's all right.
So that was a, it's not just a, it wasn't a cute mark, it wasn't on the
No, that is a breed. That is your. That is your. I'm thinking. You know, I could be wrong, but I have to check that in a minute here. Ha logos kai. Ha logos. That would be an H O again. Ein pros ton. That might be. I tell you what. Leave that so I can make. That's just ein. That's not hain. That's H. That's not an H. There. It's just over the O. I have an early morning too, so. Pros ton theon kai thos ein ho logos. You can put an H there. Alright. And then what's this? Oh, that's two. Alright. And then utas ein en arche pros ton theon panta di autu. Now you don't have to have the H there. All right, it's just a out to. And then Agenito. You got adenito. How come you have a agenito. D here when that's a gamma?
Where's not a
H? Agenito. We're looking to the next. Oh, you're right there. Yeah, it's agenito. That's how you're doing. Yeah, you got hegenito. There's no. Just because there are these breathing marks in front doesn't mean it's a H. Okay? Eventually, your O, you look here, your Omicron has this shaped breathing mark in front of it to make it a ho.
But you don't have to write the H.
But if it is a, well, you, I wanted it phonetic.
Yeah, that's
so you do need an H.
Do you want the H in front of the gametto?
No, because the accent mark is reversed.
What does it mean to?
Hegenito, that's the beginning. Yeah, it's not hegenito, you got a G. Oh, it's just, they marked accents on all of the letters with the acute, the circumflex, and the what's the other one, I can't remember.
So where's that? Right.
So the grade.
So the H mark.
So they had breathing marks over everything to tell you where the stress was on the syllable. We're not worried about that, I'm not worried about it, okay? So that's not hegenito, that's the backward. That epsilon has a reverse mark on it. So, okay. Tai, Coris, good. Altu, Egenito, Ude, good. Now, you're putting its Hain. That may be Hain. That looks exactly because you got the breathing mark for H there. Ho, Genonin, good. Hain, Aotu. You got Zoe, very good, but you don't have to have the D, very good. Hain, Kai, Hain. I'm not so sure that these are, yeah, these aren't Hain. It's not a Hain.
It's A-Y-N,
kind of hard to tell, isn't it? Zoe, Hinto, Fos, Tone, Anthro, wait, what's this, Anthro noun? What's that letter right there? Yeah, so Anthropon, Anthropone, should be a T, Anthropone. Looking at the fifth line down, first word is anthropone, anthropos, anthropon. What's an anthropod? Anthropomorphic.
Yeah.
It's a man. All right. Kai, to, fa, spos. Hain, te, scotia, tania. Bene, sorry. Kai, Hain, I'm looking at both of your directions. You have Hain, but there's no Hain, it's just a hay. You got H-A-N. E. Scotia, Aotu, U, whatever that letter is. What's that letter?
Ao.
Ao. Oh, it's an W. Oh, okay. Ao, very good. And then... Katalaben. Katalaben. That was fun, but that was not necessarily the most accurate things we could do. But you converted your letters into Greek, so you've got your you know what a zeta is. Good. List all the alphabet that you currently know. You listed the seven vowels. Work backwards, all right? Adelphos. Let's work at this. How did anybody... Let's see. How do you spell Adelphos, John?
How do I spell Adelphos? Alpha, Delta, Epsilon, Lambda.
Alpha, Delta, Epsilon.
Lambda.
Mm-hmm. Phi.
Yeah. Well, you did the wrong one, that's not Phi.
Oh, I did a theta. Sorry.
With the line in it. Yeah. Phi, Omicron, and Sigma.
All right, Adelphos. That's your first one. What's your next one?
N anthropos. Alpha, nu, theta, pro, omicron, pi, omicron, su.
Good.
Adelphos? Adelphos. Is that an L? What's your L?
It's my L.
Okay. But it still should be...
Okay. Yeah, if you want to, you can... It's just sort of trying to... I don't know how you want to do it particularly.
Okay, that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Our L took shape from their L. Okay, theirs is just a little more extreme on the bottom.
Yeah, it has that west I follow on. It's like leaning on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll make sure.
All right, Barry, what's the next one?
Phylos.
Phylos? Spell it.
Phoi. Epsilon. Iota. Lambda. Omicron. Sigma. I just had an iota.
Say again?
I just had an iota.
Phylos. Well, you can do it that way. Right now, it is just an iota. It's a phylos. He just spelled it very painfully. Phylos, all right. All right, what's the next one?
Graphos.
Graphos, can you spell that?
Lambda.
No. Graphos.
Gamma.
Gamma.
Rho. Alpha. Pi. Epsilon, sigma. Omicron, sigma.
He said pi, actually, I think, for...
No, he said... I thought he said pi, all right? Do you have pi? Or phi?
PH, PH.
All right. I misunderstood you. All right. Graphos. All right. What does graphos, do you think, mean? Graphic. Writing. All right. Good. What's the next letter? John.
Argo.
Argo. Yeah, all right.
And then doulos.
And then doulos. Now, doulos is a good word. Anybody know what doulos might mean? Servant. All right. Be particular. In your King James Bible, slave is very rarely used because servant is picked up. Some are servants that are servants forever and they are taken as slaves, but there are servants that are choice, and I am a servant by choice. All right, and then doulos. All right, now, we reviewed different things. Did I give you the words to memorize, the next page? Did I?
No. I'm sorry?
No.
Oh, I didn't. Okay. All right. Let's see, we reset with a set of vowels, write the Greek. Okay, now, you have to memorize these following words. Okay, your first one, let's say them together. Ago means to I lead, I bring, or I go. Just in your brain, just get that word in your mind. Ago. I lead, I bring, or I go. You need to have your cards where you can... Where did I go? Now, for a fee, I will give you my list of words on paper that you can print. All right. So you ought to have on that side, I go. And on the back side, I lead, bring, or go. Okay? That's what you need. And you need to be able to go through your words. I go. Next one. Somebody say it for me. Blepo. I see. So when you see the word blepo, you're dealing with sight. I see. Notice every one of these verbs have an omega on the end. What's that next word, Barry?
Gnosko.
Where do we get the Gnostic from? Agnostic means I don't know. And gnosko means I know. Next one. There's our word, grapho.
Grapho.
All of these words you need to know. I want you to learn how to pronounce them and say them over and over and over again. Next one. Fellow. I wish upon a star. Fellow. Next one. Pimpo. I send. Pimpo. So I'll be able to, I'll put a word up there and you have to go, Pimpo, I send. I'll go, I lead, bring or go. Okay? More, keep going. Say that one. Ian.
Echo.
No.
Akko.
Akuo.
Akuo.
Akuo. Alright. Acoustic. Do you hear the word acoustics there? Okay. Akuo. Sometimes the OU says ow, sometimes it says oo. Here, it's an akuo. Lego. That's right. I say there, old chap. I say. Lego my ego. Alright. Here we go, Barry. Say loud. Pistuo, right. Pistuo is the word for faith. I believe. Pistuo. So, guess what? When the Philippian jailer jumped into the room and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Paul said, "Pistuo!" Not quite, but he used a derivative of the word pistuo. Alright, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thine house. Pistuo. Now, what's this word?
Echo.
Echo. Now, that is not echo. Don't think of like talking echo, you know, echo. Not that. It's I have. I echo. I hold on to something. I have. I possess. So, echo. I have or I hold. Just get it in your brain. Sometimes the words sound like they mean, sometimes they don't. So don't always rely on that. Echo. Let's see. Try this one, John. Good. Eurisco. Eurisco. Now that is, I always connect that with Eureka. I found it, you know. But Eurisco. All right? Fine, you take a lot of risks to find something. Eurisco. Dan.
Lambano. Lambano.
Good. Lambano. I take or I receive. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And if I go, I will come again and take you unto myself and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. All right, lambano. That'll be a pretty common word in your New Testament. All right, now there are some H sound words, okay? Now, notice the following words. Somebody want to pronounce that one, Barry?
Hodas.
Hodas. It's highway. Hodas, all right? It's my way or the Hodas, all right? You can say it and nobody will understand it. Ho, that's the, that's an adjective. The, ho. What's that one, Dean?
Eurisco.
I found, you've seen that, haven't you? But it's Eurisco.
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 Oh, yeah.
All right.
That's the H was supposed to go before it.
You thought the H was supposed to go before it? Wasn't go. No, on a Eurisco you are. Now let's go back here. Look at this. I just gave you Eurisco. But now I'm trying to show you with the breath mark on there, it is Eurisco.
Well, what is the breath mark on B? Upsilon.
On the diphthong, it is always on the second letter, not on the first. On a diphthong. Okay. Little things to find out. Eurisco, I found. What's that one?
Ekanos.
Say it again.
Ekanos.
Actually, we're looking at the H words, so there's always got to be a H in part of it because Hikanos. Hikanos. Hikanos would come, that would be an omega there. Hikanos.
Hikanos.
Mm-hmm. Maybe just the way it's written on there. But how do you tell the difference between an acute and a H sound?
It's just, if it's a first vowel and it has one of these marks, now here it's just straight like that. If it's slanted to the right, that's telling you it's an H sound on the first vowel, unless it's a diphthong, then it's on the second vowel of the diphthong, okay?
Okay.
All right, I'm trying to make it as simple as possible. But it's just these words, hikanas, it has a H sound, right? Because, bless you, if it was the other direction, it would just tell you that it's, the accent is on the first vowel instead of a second or a third vowel, if it was the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, he comments. What's this one? This one's one of my favorite ones. Barry?
Hilarus.
Hilarus. That's where we get the word hilarious. Hilarus. And then Dan.
Deus. Deus.
Hideos. Hideos is what it should be.
Hideos.
That sounds like hideous, but it's Hideos.
Hideos.
One more. Let's see, Barry.
Helios.
Talking about heliocentric view of the universe, sun-centered or geocentric? This earth-centered view of the earth, of the universe. Helios. No, I thought we're, no.
We're what?
Hell. Well, Sheol is one of the Tartarus, that's Hebrew. Hades. Some of them is Hades. Gehenna is another one. Okay, yeah. All right. Now we begin the fun. Right, endings, cases, and tenses. Oh boy, this is the ending, right? All right, case endings are the way the Greek language designates the function of a noun. All right, we're on to the next page. Case endings are the way the Greek language designates the function of a noun. Nominative, accusative, genitive, dative, vocative.
Can you give me 2 pages?
I don't know. I'm on the next page.
What endings we have?
Did I not give you? Hold on.
It says endings, endings, and tenses. It's just a Greek verb of 2 actions.
That's what... Oh, okay. Well, let me give you... I'm just giving you an introduction before we get to it. Hold on.
Oh, okay.
All right, stand by. Case endings tell you what's happening. All right? It also tells you the gender of the noun. See, in most languages, you know, objects have gender. In your whatever going along in your sentence, your verbs have to match the gender of your noun. Okay, not only like we say, she sees, I saw. Notice the C changed to saw based on the noun, based on the subject of your sentence. And each one of these things, the things going on in your sentence have to all match. You can't say I see and she see. No, she saw. So the way the verb ends has to match other words in the sentence is how I'm trying to say it, okay? Alright, so your cases always match the relationship of the noun to the verb. I'll explain that more in a minute. A verb describes the action or the state of being in a sentence and is primarily composed of the root verb, or the verb root, sorry. It also tells you a tense. It tells you voice and mood. And it also tells you the number of people and the kind of person you're talking about in the subject. I know all of that stuff, but I'll explain that more as we go on. The inflection of a verb is called its conjugation. All right? Now, a conjugation, new word. Conjugation is when you have a verb and you show all the different endings you can have on that verb. All right? Just like be, being, been, have been, will be. Those are all, we have ways of saying it that the Greeks just tacked on an ending to the verb. Okay? So your root is your verb stem. And then all of the other endings are tacked on to tell you what is this verb doing. Alright? And in English, it's very confusing for people because sometimes you add on an S, sometimes you add on an ING. Sometimes you get rid of the word completely and make it all different. You know? How come you have see and saw? That doesn't make any sense. It should be, you know, see, sees, seeing, sen. You know, it should always start with S-E at least and then have endings on it. But then they go and they throw it all out and say, no, saw. So that can confuse people, but in Greek it doesn't work that way. I know that. That's right. Now you're going to learn that verbs have tense in them. They tell you what's happening, when.
Well, does the Greek tense not change? Is it the same in a root? Or on tense is
it the same verb? The same, yeah, I'll show you how you have the same root verb and then the tense is shown in the ending.
Alright.
Well, what are Keith's ending? We're looking at verb endings right now. Mood. You have these things. The mood of a verb is usually what's called indicative. It is a statement of fact. Alright? So when you get the word mood there, correct?
We're a verb endings. A Greek verb has three actions called tense, mood, and voice. And then it says, A, blank tells you the state of the action of the verb.
Probably tense mode
of
voice for ABC.
Wow, I'm way ahead. I'm before that. All right, write down this. Mood. Is the statement of fact a command? The mood is, what is your mood? Oh, will you come to me or come to me now? That is the mood of the verb. The verb will tell you, are you commanding or are you wishing? Or, you know, it's the mood that you're seeing that verb in. Okay? Next one, number. That's how many you're talking to. Alright? You all come to me, or you specifically, you right there, come up here now. Okay? Voice. That actually we're going to talk a lot about voice, where we'll say it's either, it's active, middle, or passive. If something is active, I'm doing it. If something is middle, I'm actually, how do I explain it? It's to myself, yeah. If it's middle, it's, I'm doing it, second one, it's of me, this action's coming from me, and the passive, it's being done to me, okay? So all of these things are in a verb, okay? They're all pashk there in that ending. It tells you when it's happening, who it's happening to, how many it's happening to, how emphatic it is, okay? Tense is it past, present, future? Person, it actually is expressing, is it first person, second person, or third person? A first person pronoun is I. First person plural is we, okay? Second person singular is what? If it's second person, it's you. Third person is they. Okay, you see how it works? So when you talk about person, you're talking about either myself, or you, or others. Okay, in three different realms. And then aspect. There's one more sense to a verb ending, and that is its aspect. And that's where they're trying to tell you, did it finish, or is it still ongoing? Okay? Alright, I know that's fun, but you can always re-listen to the tape later.
Would that be it is finished? Is that have something?
Telestai is telling you that it is finished, but it's using the word finished as well.
And the verb tense of it means that it's done.
Yeah. The word is when we say, when Jesus said, it is finished, he took one word, telestai, and translated into three words, which means it, right now, is an accomplished fact. Okay? All that, whatever he has done, he has finished it completely. It is done. There's nothing more to be done.
It's not ongoing.
It's not ongoing. So things like that. The aspect is what's called perfect. A Greek verb has three general actions. Okay. Now I talked about lots of things, but let me talk about these three things here. Tense, mode, and voice. It expresses what it is doing. It is the kind of action that is taking place. What kind of action is taking place? A. Your first fill-in is tense. It's the time of the action. Usually past, present, or future. B. Your mode or the mood of the action. Right, do you have the three lines underneath there? Indicative, subjunctive, and imperative. All right, you understand? You hear the word imperative? It is imperative that you come right away. All right. That's one of the modes or moods of a verb.
So mode is the same as mood?
Yes. Well, yes. Okay. And C, voice. Voice. There's a science to language, and that's how come they come up with all these words that you have to memorize in order to memorize words. C is voice. Now, voice tells you how the action is related to the subject. Is it active, or is it middle, or is it passive? Is it happening? Is the subject doing it himself, or having it done to him? Is somebody beating him up, or is he beating himself up? You know, that's the voice is telling you that. Now, conjugating verbs, nightmare. All right, so verb actions. I went through tense. Sorry, I didn't know I had these already here. And then voice. So before I go on, because this is where we're going to spend some time now. Active is the noun. What is a noun? Somebody want to tell me?
Person, place, or
thing. Okay. I liked how somebody said it this way. A noun is anything that God can see. A noun is anything that God can see. All right, you can see my heart. My heart is a noun. All right, that's an it. A person, place, or thing. Okay? So, that's... When it's active, then my heart is grieving. Okay? My heart is causing the action. My heart is hating. My heart is loving. It's my heart doing the action. It's active. My heart is active. Middle is the heart acting in reference to itself. And I think I've got an example here. I can't remember where I've got it here. All these three things. My heart loves itself. Okay? It's acting in reference to itself. Somebody goes into a mirror and somebody says, I can see, right? My eyes are seeing. I'm seeing. But when I look into a mirror, I see myself. I'm looking at myself. The action's in reference to me. Okay? I'm not just looking around other people. And then the third is where it's acting, I am being looked at. I'm paranoid, you know? All right? I'm being seen. Okay, you see how it works. Now, that thematic vowel, these are awful things to have to learn. I'm sorry, but the thematic, you got to learn this because we're going to see some building blocks of verb endings. The thematic vowel is a vowel that always has, you have to write this down, always has to precede the verb ending. A thematic vowel is a vowel that always has to follow a verb ending. So you're going to learn some verb endings that have a vowel in there that is just called a thematic vowel. Okay, now you need to write this down. It is always omicron when it is before an ending that begins with mu or nu. So every time there is a mu or a nu, there will always be an omicron. Again, we're going to be looking at endings.
Do we have to write down that singular plural stuff?
No. Singular and plural endings are next, after we deal with this.
Well, but I mean, do we have to make that chart?
You'll have to make this chart, yes, in a moment. First, write this down.
Okay.
It is always, there are two statements here. One is you have an omicron preceding any kind of ending that has a mu or a nu. I try my best not to have to make you memorize these things, but this is going to be kind of necessary. And it is always epsilon with every other setting. So it is omicron in front of mu, or omicron in front of nu. Every other vowel, every other ending, like te, has to have an omicron, an epsilon. Epsilon, epsilon. Okay, that's what I'm trying to say. You've got to see that this special letter has to be in there. That either an epsilon or an omicron. And it's, you just got, if you memorize this statement here, omicron follows a mu, or precedes a mu or a nu, and epsilon every other time, you'll be able to tell, oh, I see the endings, and I know that that's the thematic vowel. Okay, you understand?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right now.
So, for now, amen. These are called, the next things that we're looking at, these are called personal endings. We call them personal pronouns. And they tell you, is it singular or plural? Have you ever heard this phrase when you were learning English? First person plural? Or first person singular? First person plural. Second person singular? Second person plural. So, if I have first person singular, I'm talking about I. Okay? Now somebody pronounce this word here. Pronounce this ending. Dan. What is that?
That's Ada.
I'm sorry.
That's it's a M. That's right? That's
an Mu. M. Mu. Yeah.
Me.
Ami.
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 Oh, pronounce it with the
Yes.
Yeah.
S.
S.
S-E.
Yeah. Okay.
Ami. S. S. E.
Okay.
Amen. Ete. Ansi. Ansi. And then there's an imperative. We'll have to in a second. Okay, so Ami. This is the thing that you got to do. You're going to have to memorize this list. Just in sequence and then remember what they mean. Ami es esse. Amen ete ansi. Just realize when you see esse, it's referring to a he, she, or it. Thou is always singular. So, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Thou is you and you alone. Do you understand how it's written? Okay. Ye is plural.
That's in Noah has been, isn't it? Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations.
I know. I'm just using the thou there. I couldn't think of a New Testament thing.
So, in Noah has been, does it mean thou?
Yes, they also had singular and plural words.
That's what Ansi.
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 I didn't say Ami.
Ami. Mommy. Put a name in front of there. Mommy. Okay. Alright, everybody got that list? You ought to write it on the back of your page so that you got it real clear and give you lots of space for more notes. Okay, everybody got it? What are we going to do with it? So Dan, if I say amen, what am I saying? What is my verb referring to? What person?
I.
Amen.
I.
No.
Amen.
Amen.
Look at this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we.
We. If I say ansi, what is that referring to, Barry?
Ansi.
They. What if I am referring to ace? What am I referring to?
Second person singular, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Okay, you're going to have to get that memorized. All right, ete. Eddie, ete. Ye. Ye. Yeah, those are the older English, and the older English retained a lot of the language that was in the Greek. The purpose, you know, I thank God for a King James Bible that bridges me back to the Greek, whereas all the new Bibles just say you. Hey, you, dude. You don't know if he's talking to one or many. Okay? Alright, now we're going to learn about word stems and conjugating. Again, conjugate is a marriage term. It's bringing two to one. Alright? Let's talk about I'm not sure if I get this one. Let's see, do I have it? Alright. Let me do this on the board and you write it down. I should have done this
Lego on the computer.
Do you have Lego?
Lego leggies.
There you go. You got that there.
Yeah.
Okay. That's in present indicative active. Okay, then I'm okay. All right. You've got three states going on. What's called present indicative active, present indicative middle, and present indicative passive. Now again, it's telling you, is it happening now? Is it happening to me? Is it happening later? Is it happening to them? Okay, so let's start. If you look at Lego, all right, I will go ahead and do this just for fun. What does Lego say? John, what does Lego mean? I what? I say, all right, again, the omega on the end is helping you know that it is, he's talking about me. I do something. Okay? So.
Is there much of a difference between I say or I am saying?
Kinda, yeah. That was one of my original questions when I was in Greek class, too. Alright? So. Alright. Just for speed, I write it now like that. I guess you should write it like this, or. Just leave me for a minute, alright? Alright. Now, this is called a word stem. That is the root. And we're going to add on to it our ending, our verb ending. So, yeah, I say or I am saying right now, you can sort of just say the same. Alright? So, O. And then notice what's the next one. Legais. Legais. It actually, we've always pronounced it, I just remember pronouncing legais, but it may be legais. I don't remember there being three syllables. Legais. And then, alright, legai. And that's your third person singular. He, she, or it is saying. Now you don't actually have to separate those two because they make them together. So this is first person, second person, third person, singular.
So are you going to give us things like we'd have in French or something, you know, je suis, tu es, il est, elle est, sans, vous êtes.
Yes, you know it. Alright, so we've still got our root stem, and then if you're going to do first person plural, amen. Alright, notice, here you got an omicron before a mu. It's always an epsilon before any other letter. Okay? But lego is I. What is lego? My brain just died. I see. Yeah, I say. So I say, you say, you particular singular, and he, she, or it says. Legon is?
I'm sorry.
What's the first person? No,
we.
Okay, legomen. What's the next one?
We
see.
No, no. What's the words? I mean, what's the ending? The ending is ete. Ete.
Would it be ete if it was epsilon tau eta? Ete.
Better.
Okay,
ete.
I'm just curious.
Well, I can't tell you exactly. I haven't spoken in 15 years, more than that. So this is all a review for me to actually go back and pronounce it. I just say ete. But it should be probably ete. Along with a short e. And then usi. And then there's one other form there. And it's sort of on a branch all by itself. And this is called the infinitive. It means it doesn't relate to anybody. It's just generic out there, okay? And that last one is ein. Ein. Epsilon, iota, nu. Ein. So these endings, legein, means to say. It is important for you to do this. You just haven't done it yet. You don't know if you'll ever do it. Okay, yeah. huh?
We're in a different term, what you just gave us during...
Because, that's Greek, just believe me. You're now, I gave you general personal endings. The first ones I gave you were general personal endings. This is personal endings. These are personal endings when it is present tense, it is indicative, and it is active. There's another set of endings that are when they're present indicative,
middle,
and there's another set of endings when they're present indicative, passive. You ready for pure? Yeah, give me the gun. Yeah. That's why I was up to half 12 last night going, no, I don't want to do this. All right. These words are saying, I say, or I am saying, I am doing it right now. I'm doing it presently. It is indicative, meaning things are it is things that I want happening, and it is ongoing. It is active. There is present indicative middle. That's I'm acting in the present with reference to self as I see myself. And did I give you a little? Yes, I did. All right. You'll see, like, did I give you another word instead of Lego? It's blepome. Blepomai. What do you think blepomai means? What's blepo?
I am seeing.
No. Blepo. Blepo. Hmm?
Lego.
Mm. Galashi.
No.
Indicative middle.
Yes, seeing. Sorry, it is like seeing. I don't know. Blepo. I wanted to make sure that I had that right. Blepo is I see or I am seeing. Blepomai is what? I see myself. Blepe is. Is you see yourself. Okay. And blepetai? He, she, or it sees itself. Okay. Blepo, blepametha, blepametha, blepametha.
Do you have an example of that in, you know, I see
person. Jesus thought to himself, all right? I'm thinking in reference to myself. I'm just thinking about myself. These are sometimes where he thought within himself.
Okay.
Or it would say Jesus himself went instead of Jesus with the other disciples. It would be always in reference to himself and not anybody else. Okay, it's just denoting that the action was happening within his realm, only in his realm. Okay, So you got blepometha, and that's first person plural. That's we are seeing ourselves for the first time. So like a new age group. Let us all see ourselves as a... And then blepethe. You don't want to be pronouncing this too much. Blepethe. Okay, that's ye are seeing yourself. And then blepantai. Blepantai or blepantai. I believe it's a conjugated diphthong. Blepantai is they see themselves. And then blepesthai or blepesthai, to be seeing
oneself.
Yeah. There was one more, and I always make it harder, and that's the present indicative passive, and they're exactly the same as present indicative middle. All right. I am being seen. The difference is in the context. Okay. So you'll see all of those word endings, and you'll go, I wonder if this is present indicative middle or present indicative passive. Okay? Now, I will give you this chart. Verb case endings. O, ace, a, amen, ete, use, ain. Present indicative active, I am, you are, he, she, it is. We are, ye are, they are. And to do something, all right? Mm-hmm. Present indicative middle, amai, a, ete, amatha, este, antai, esthai. To, I verb myself, you verb yourself, you view yourself, he sees himself, we see ourselves, like blemetha.
Yeah.
Blemometha, all right? And then you need to memorize, amai, a is the same thing as those etai. Amitha, Estha, Amtai, Esthai. Okay? So, I am being... This chart will help you out. Okay? Just to know, because that's... Most of your words that you're going to be spending time translating are not nouns. Nouns are easy. Bread, stone, rock, you know, couch, house. It's when you get to the verb. Is somebody coming to the house or leaving the house? Are they building the house or are they breaking it down? Okay, so are they digging or are they being buried? Did it happen or is it now happening or is it going to happen? Verbs are where you're going to spend the time going, all right, where is the action here? I dig it, yeah, all right. All right, I will give you this. Don't worry, I'll give you a little card that has it on it so that you can memorize it later. Training exercise, translation exercises, here you go. Find what blepe means. Write it into English. Akuamen. You're trying to find the next word, akuamen. Mm-hmm. So, who's hearing?
We are hearing.
Quit cheating.
Quit cheating. Who's that? Oh, yes. We are
Mm-hmm.
Okay, work on your other translation into Greek when you're through with that. There are some people who, when they get so wrapped up in Greek, they won't read an English Bible anymore. They'll just read their Greek. And really, if you're going to be teaching Greek, you're going to have to do that because you need to constantly keep it fresh. I can't remember this stuff. I can't. I was last night looking at my grammar book. And I mean, all the notes I took back then, I'm going, oh, I remember that. Oh, my goodness. Yes, I remember that. But it's just intense. These are, I mean, that's three, that's all case endings. Noun and verb case endings. That's all that is learning how to figure out.
You're learning an entire language.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
It takes 4 years in school sometimes to learn Spanish
mm-hmm.
and French. Mm-hmm. And then how many people know it when they leave, you know? It's in the
most. You took 7 years in French.
Yeah. And 14 years in English.
14 years of Irish. That's terrible.
I think it's your wish to just be able to speak French. We had an hour that lasted 20 minutes. You just had to speak French all the way through.
Wow.
I was like, surprised myself or whatever. I had to do French grinds to catch up or whatever. But by the end of it, it was like, wow, you know, I could just speak away. And we just had this big grand conversation and had a great time. Like.
Yeah.
But yeah, you just forget it so quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'd have to be constantly reading it, interacting with it, stuff. So, I think.
Yeah.
Come on, Barry.
If it's in Spanish.
Baker. Yeah, you gotta be careful. You could be saying the dog smells or something. You gotta be a real guy.
All right, you guys finished? I'll introduce you to something that we'll talk about more next week. Those are noun endings. What are nouns? As we said there a little while ago, nouns are person, places, or things.
Anything that God can see.
In Greek, the endings of a word generally tell you the different persons you're talking about, as in I, thou, he, we, they, you, etc. Those are the endings that are telling you who you're talking to. These are called personal endings. In English, the endings are separate words. We know them as personal pronouns. We always say, I see. But in Greek, the verb has the I in it. Okay, that's what we're trying to say. All right, now we're talking about nouns. You need to memorize these nouns. These are the beginning of the words. You actually already have some words that you memorized in those previous verbs. But I want you to notice, all of these words end in omicron sigma. Okay?
Okay.
Os. Okay.
What is this?
Hartos. Hartos. A hearty bread. Hartos is bread. So fill in, that is bread. Your fill in there for hartos is bread.
Do the endings change, as in?
Oh, they will change. But I'm giving you the general.
Does that mean breaded or?
No, it just means bread. If you went bread, okay, but you're not telling you anything about the bread. I want the bread, bring the bread to me. No, cook the bread. You know. Okay, hartos means bread. That's your first meaning. Secondly, thranos, throne. Just make note of hartos has a H. Rough, what they call, H is called a rough breathing mark. Hartos. Thranos, cosmos. The world, the cosmopolitan view. Out in the cosmos. Now they may talk that about the universal world, but it means world. It means everything that there is. Cosmos. Dan, pronounce that.
Lithos.
Lithography, a lithographic, that means engraving on a stone. Good, so lithos, a stone. You see what that is, logos, that's your word. Logos. Nomos. Or namas, sorry, namas. Nomenclature. I was thinking of the word nomenclature. That means a written list fixed of something, but namas, law. Haklos. A crowd. Haklos. Tapas. Topographical. That's a topographical map.
Hox. You got me there. I don't remember. I'll have to look it up. Haklos.
Haklos. Just trust me right now that I'm always right until I think I'm wrong. Right, tapas. Chronos, time, yes. Chronograph. Chronometer. Phylos. That's where you get the word Philadelphia. Friend. Friendly love. Phileo is I love. But you can love your dog, you can love a friend. That's not what you say to your wife. Hey, I'm your friend. That's all you're saying there with I love Philo. But if agapo is I love you from all with all my heart, is agapo. Philos, friend.
Philosophy.
Is a lover of wisdom, sophistry. So, but it's not passionate love. It's just something that you like as a friend, a philosophy. Yes, it's a lover of wisdom. And then anthropos. You might not have that on your list. Anthropos.
It looks better though, I
think. It does. But I just wanted to make sure that you had it on your list to memorize.
Oh, okay.
Anthropos.
And what the thing is, it anthropos.
No, it's just anthropos. Okay. I don't know. It's just how I copied it over. That's strange. I'll have to figure that. What I've got is there are so many breathing marks, and I try to strip out breathing marks that are unnecessary. Some of them I'm not sure of, because I just didn't want to have to try and remember and force you to memorize all of the breathing marks. And that's going to get me in trouble, probably.
You're just teaching us from a scholarly level, not that we'll be speaking
and so on. Right. And that you know, when you're using the tools, you'll be able to recognize general things. But I don't know. Anthropos. Okay. Noun case endings. We'll start here and we'll end here as well. Noun case endings. Case endings, again, are tell you what the sentence in the word... Case endings of a word... that tell you where in the sentence the word belongs. Is it at the beginning of the sentence? Do you put it at the end? Sometimes we talk about word order, all right? In other languages, we put things like the ball red, all right? But in English, we say the red ball, okay? Well, your case ending on your noun tells you where these words belong, what's in front of what. The Greek language has 8 case endings. And they group themselves into 5 basic groups, even though there are 8. Anyway, the 5 case system is the nominative, the genitive, (clears throat) dative. The accusative. And the vocative.
That's provocative.
Yeah.
Provocative is direct.
Right. It's vocal. It's like when in the Old Testament you would say, "Oh Lord," that's vocative. That's verbalized. Okay. You're saying it very emphatically and from the heart. Yeah. Yeah. Where in the Old Testament? Where in the New Testament would you have it? It's not as apparent as you may want, but. There in Revelation, you know, you've got the angels and you've got people crying out, "Oh Lord." They're saying things like, "Oh Lord," and you see that's the vocative.
What about when Stephen is just being stoned or whatever? Does he?
Can't remember if he uses the vocative. I don't know.
Saying, they stoned him, saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit."
I'm not sure if that's vocative or not. Usually you'll have the word "oh" in front of it.
Okay.
That tells you that it's "oh." Okay.
Okay.
There's an 8-case system. Do you have the 8-case system in your...
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Now those 8 cases there, you have 3 extra ones. You have ablative, locative, and instrumental. And those are funny. But let's look at logos there. Logos means a word. It can mean any word. If you put ha logos, it's what? That is your adjective, the. That is. So, in hake, ein ha logos. In the beginning was the word. Okay. Alright. Generally, when you just have a word by itself, it just means a word. Okay. Now, context tells you whether you're talking about just any old word or whether you're talking about a specific word. Okay. That's where the Jehovah's Witnesses come along and say, see, there's no ha in front of theos, and so it can be a god. Now, they're playing with the Greek language. If you were really, really primitive, yes, that's true. But the context tells you he's not talking about a god up there. He's talking about the god. And the word was God, not the word was a god. They just love that one part of phrase, that one part of Greek grammar. So your nominative is a word. And it's logos. The plural, do you see the plural? So you got logos and logoi. Okay? That's words, it's plural words. Logu, of a word. Of a word. The ablative, logu, is from a word. Now, the difference between of and from are so minuscule. It's very hard. But you'll find your King James translators sometimes using from and sometimes of because they can tell. This one was ablative and this one was genitive. Locative, logo, as an in or at a word. Stay away from my words. You're too close to my words. Don't get in my words. In or at a word. And then instrumental, logo, is with or by a word. And then logo again is to or for a word.
So it could be in with or to or for or at or by.
Yeah. But that's where a preposition, a previous preposition, will help you figure out what's happening. Okay? Again, context will tell you, oh, this is coming at the word. Usually you'll use a word like you know, an object, like bread instead of word, you know? Did somebody smell the bread and run from it, or did they smell the bread and run to it? You know, it's just the preposition will tell you, you know, how you're coming at or coming away from your object. The accusative is, again, a word. Log on. Hey, we go into a computer and I'm typing in a word. Log on. And then vocative lage, which is lage.
O word.
Very good. And I hear some fun down at the bottom. He ate that day. That's accusative. Okay? But it meets that he was eating throughout the day, if it's accusative. If it's dative and he says he ate that day, it means he ate when it was day, while it was daytime. He ate that day instead of that night. If you say he ate that day and it's in the genitive case, it means he ate a daytime type of meal. He ate that day. That's how specific they were in the Greek. Okay, and we don't talk that specifically because we don't learn that specifically.
We really have to know what accusative exactly is. You see the action of the verb of this.
Yes. Crazy. All right. Now let me give you an example. The Greek word Lord, Kyrios. Jehovah's Witnesses try to make a point on one thing and then fail in all other aspects because the word Lord in your Bible, in the New Testament, is never Jehovah. It is always Kyrios. Now, the Greek for the word Lord, this is not on yours. Just you might want to take some notes. The Lord in the nominative case, let me just read these and I'll tell you what to write down in a minute. The Lord, when it's in the nominative case, when we say Kyrios, it simply means who He is, all right? It's in the nominative, He's saying who He is. And when the Lord is the direct object, that's the accusative. Think of an accusative like somebody's pointing a finger saying, you, that's accusative. It's pointing the emphasis back on, you're the direct object. This tomato is for you, okay? That's accusative, all right? Genitive. Nominative, the Lord is the subject. Accusative, the Lord is the direct object. Genitive, the Lord is possessive, as in the Lord's Supper. You need to write these down.
I am not getting any of those.
I'll do it one more time. All right? I'm using the word Lord. When you say the Lord in the nominative case, as in the Lord bless the crowd, He's the subject. So you say, Lord in the nominative case, He is the subject. If I said the Lord bless the crowd, the subject's not the crowd. You're not talking about the crowd, you're talking about the Lord blessing the crowd. Amen? All right. All right? So in the nominative, Lord is the subject. In the accusative, He is the direct object. He is what's going to get the action. The genitive is when the Lord possesses something. Kyrio. It's like in the Lord's Supper. It's His Supper. Genitive. Kyrio. The Lord's Supper. It is possessive. He owns it. Or we say the Lord's Prayer. When the Lord is the dative, He is the indirect object. Philip is... When Philip brought the bread from the lad and brought it to Jesus,
yeah.
Right, Philip was the direct object. Philip had the bread, okay, and he brought the bread to the Lord, and he's the indirect object. He's the second object in your sentence. Kind of complicated. All right, when the Lord is addressed as specifically, like saying, Lord, Lord, this is maybe where the vocative comes in. Where the vocative, Lord, Lord, did not we do many wondrous things in Thy name? Then you've got the vocative. That's when He is, when He's being addressed. All right, so there's some examples where Lord is in the nominative, Lord is accusative, genitive, dative. All right, I gave you some examples. But Notice this ending. Now, it has no thematic vowel in front of it, nothing there. Just understand these are the absolute endings. So that you know, this would be kurios, kurion, kuriu, kurio, and kurii.
Could it be I omega for the dative, or how does the omega jump in there?
How does the omega jump in there?
Just by the rest of them, if I saw the I ending, I just put kuri. But there's a omega there. So.
Yeah, it is kurio. I'm not sure why.
If I put kuri in, I put kuri in a test or something, if I was.
You would be failed. I don't know why. Curio. Pro. It always has to have... Oh, it has I here. I don't know why.
Is that supposed to be...
I don't know. It should be omega. You'll see that in the next chart here.
Just omega,
let me show you the chart here. Do you have this? Yeah, change it to omega.
Just
omega. Dative. Okay, let's go through this and I'll show you just briefly. In nominative, you've got singular, plural words. Ha and pro, pas. The man. Pas, po, pas, pu, po, pon, pe. Alright? I'm just putting the anthropos. You got as, u, o, n, a. And what this was doing was, I have reversed here the genitive before the accusative here. Mm-hmm. But nominative, genitive, dative, accusative, vocative is how I memorize it, how most people memorize it, okay? The man, of the man, to or for the man. Again, the man, accusative. It's bringing to the man. And then vocative, o man, okay? So, anthropos, anthropou, anthropo, anthropon, anthrope. Anthropoi, anthropon, anthropois, anthropous, anthropoi. Now, o men and the men, the difference between, look at that, the difference between the nominative and the vocative is hoi. Look at the, what are called adjectives before. You'll see sometimes ton. You'll sometimes see tone. These are the words the, or they'll tell you what's happening to the man. And that is just simply the man, or if it's without an adjective, it's o man. Okay? Anthropoi here, oi. Or just anthropoids, all men. These things are just memorized. Now, thankfully, when you memorize some of these things, you know, you won't have to retain them because you'll just know that there are some tools that'll tell you what these things are. But it's just giving you a familiarity. How come? First rule is always strip away your endings so that you know that's a word for man, anthropon. Or anthropos is your normal nominative. That's your general word, anthropos. But if you're looking at this word here, anthropos, you can immediately go, oh, that's my root word is anthropos. And you're going to find out what this tells me. Is that in first, second, third person, plural, singular? So that's what you're trying to do. And then this is telling you, all right, this is the men. All right, we're not going to do these exercises. We'll review this because it's just going to be so much. We'll stop there. Okay. Gina doesn't know what she misses.